Chapter 10. Nero. Everything was spinning. It was like life had become a merry-go-round. I wasn't meant to have been born. My mother had drugged whoever the unlucky man was and had raped him. And she had done it because she had lost the son she really wanted. Where did that leave me? I was a mistake. I should never have existed. How was I supposed to live, knowing the world would be better off if I wasn't here? Ever since I had learned the truth from my mother, things around me became more and more hazy. It was like I was losing control of the steering wheel of my life. I hadn't meant to let Kendall slip away, but I had. I hadn't wanted to go to a New Orleans strip club, but I went. And I certainly didn't want to lap dance, but my teammates pushed her on me, so I acted like they expected me to. Now everyone's pissed. Cage is texting me about it. Coach is telling me that I might not get drafted because of it. And I'm pretty sure I've lost my boyfriend. I'm not 100% on that because I still hadn't replied to him sending me the video. I couldn't handle knowing that the only guy I've ever loved hated me. There was a limit to how much I could take.
"Are you ready to do this?"
Coach asked when he joined me in his office.
"Yeah, whatever."
He paused and stared down at me on the couch.
"Do you not want to be here? Because let me remind you that we're only here to salvage your professional career. But if you don't give a shit about it, then we could tell everyone to go home and be done with it right now."
"No, I want to do this. It's not fair."
"What's not fair? That everyone is bending over backward to save your reputation?"
"Well, sometimes life isn't fair. But I didn't want the lap dance. I didn't ask for it.
And if you acted like that in the video, then we wouldn't be here. Look, what's happened has happened. Do you want to deal with it head on, or let the millions of people who now only know you as the strip club guy on East Tennessee's football team define how the rest of your life goes? You want to take charge of your future, or let your past dictate what happens next?"
I thought about that. Yeah, my life was spinning out of control, and not for the first time. But even when I was a kid, the one thing I knew I could count on was football. I was good at it, and it didn't matter what my mother was doing or not doing. It didn't matter how lonely I felt. All that ever mattered was how well I could catch a pass and how fast I could get down the field. The rest of my life faded into the background when that was happening. Football was the only thing that had always been there for me. If I were going to fight for anything, it had to be that. I want to take charge of my future.
"Good, because you could have a bright one. It was a tragedy that happened to your brother. I can't help but think of his draft-ending injury as my fault somehow. I didn't want to let you down too," he said, putting his hand on my shoulder.
"Thanks, Coach," I said, meaning it.
"Now, I'm going to need to ask you a personal question. Are you dating anyone?"
"What does that matter?" I asked, feeling my skin flush as I thought about Kendall.
"Because what you did isn't illegal. You're young. You're an alpha male. Right or wrong, people will accept if you are just following your impulses. So if you told the world that you're single and suddenly reminded them that you didn't violate any moral code, they'll forgive you. Yeah, some people are always looking to feel superior, so not everyone will give you a pass. But if you say it in the right way, the boys will be boys narrative could take hold. So I'm asking you, Nero, are you single right now?"
I sat listening to everything he had to say. If I understood him right, he was saying that life was fucked up. Boys will be boys? What type of shit was that? But it wasn't like I ever believed that life was fair. I was turned into the worst person I could think of to survive. Was that fair? So if this was the break I got in exchange for my messed up childhood, I was going to take it. "There's nobody," I told him. Sure, it was true. Even if there was a chance that Kendall didn't hate me, it wasn't like he would want to be with me again. I was a fucked up piece of shit mess. I wouldn't want to be with me if I could help it. So there was no way a guy as great as Kendall would.
"Good. So in the interview, I want you to focus on that. Say that it was innocent fun blowing off steam after a game, and that as a single guy, you hadn't meant to hurt or embarrass anyone. But really hit the fact that you're single, and be as humble as you can be. Can you do that?"
"Yeah."
"I'm serious, Roman. This is important. Not just for you, but for the football program. Can you do that?"
"Yes, sir, I can do it," I said, steeling my heart to what saying those words meant.
"Good,"
he said again, squeezing my shoulder. But this time with a smile.
"You're going to do a great job out there. The interview is with the Nashville Channel 5 sports reporter. But we'll expect it to go viral. So just try to be relaxed. But don't forget that millions will be watching."
"So act like I'm on the field?"
Coach smiled. "You got this. Come on."
he said, ushering me out of his office toward an improvised media room.
By the way, the guy in charge of that program you're in for your temper insisted that I invite your student counselor, so he'll be there too.
Kendall? I asked as a bolt of pain shot through me.
Is that his name?
Coach asked before opening the door and ushering me through. In a full panic, I scanned the room. There he was, standing next to the guy behind the camera. When our eyes met, I saw his pain. Had I done that to him? I'm sure I had. Everything in me wanted to rush over and throw my arms around him. I couldn't. And when I didn't, his gaze fell to the floor.
You ready, Nero?
Coach asked me, pointing me to the front of a large green screen.
Nero!
Yeah, I'm ready, I said, slowly remembering what I had to do. I didn't know what it meant that Kendall was here. Maybe he was forced to be here like I was. I couldn't let him distract me, though. His presence didn't mean anything. Football was still the only thing I could count on in my life, and I was going to do whatever I had to hold on to it. The guy behind the camera approached me and gave me an earpiece. On the other end of that is a producer at the station. He'll give you a countdown to when you go live with Jill Walsh.
The sports reporter's a woman?
I asked, turning to Coach, wondering how it was going to change things. He nodded encouragingly.
You know they have those now,
the cameraman said before returning next to Kendall. Of course I knew there were female sports reporters, I wanted to yell. I wasn't a stupid thug. I was tired of dealing with the way everyone saw me. I couldn't take it anymore. I was going to show them.
You there? You ready?
The guy in the earpiece asked.
I'm here. I'm ready. Standing by. We're going live in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Tonight we have a special interview with Nero Roman, the East Tennessee football player in the center of a far-reaching scandal. Nero, thank you for joining us.
It's my pleasure to talk to you. I just wish it was under more pleasant circumstances, like a game-winning play.
And just to let the audience know, you've had a lot of those, the most of any freshman in Tennessee State history.
I didn't know that, I said sincerely. I just play the game the best I can. If I'm blessed with stats like that, then it's thanks to the teammates I've been lucky to play with.
So you seem like you have your life together. How did you end up in the middle of a scandal like this?
I honestly don't know. After the game, someone suggested that we go out. One thing led to another, and I guess one of my teammates recorded it.
And posted it online.
And posted it. But I'd like to point out that we were just blowing off steam. It wasn't like I was cheating on anyone. There's no one. I'm single. We were just having a little fun.
So this is a case of boys being boys?
She suggested to my surprise. I guess. Though I can now see I was showing poor judgment. I deeply regret the embarrassment I brought to the East Tennessee football program and the school's community. If I regain the trust of everyone around me, I think I could make everyone proud, I said, speaking out of my ass.
I'm sure you will. As for East Tennessee's perfect record so far this season,
we're going to do everything we can to maintain it and bring another national championship to East Tennessee.
There you have it. The sincere words of a present and future star in Tennessee football.
And we're clear,
the producer said, returning to the earpiece.
Great interview. Even I believed you. Good luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you, I told him before handing the earpiece back to the cameraman whose inner asshole had softened.
Roman, that was fantastic. I didn't know you had it in you, Coach said with a smile. You're going to go far in this world. Very far.
I smiled and subtly looked around for Kendall. He looked as devastated as I thought he would be. Looking like he would burst into tears, he rushed out of the room. I didn't go after him. Why not? I don't know. With the coach releasing me, he told me to stay out of trouble, at least until the interview airs. He said it in a way that made it sound like it would be hard for me. I didn't know what to think about that. Luckily, there were other things on my mind. Mostly, it was Kendall and what I had let slip through my fingers. The closer I got to my room, the more rage I felt toward myself. I was such an incredible fuck-up. Everything about my life was a shit show, probably because I was the mistake who never should have been born. By the time I had made it back to my place, I was ready to explode. I tried to think of something that would calm me, but the one person who centered me was the reason I was so furious. Unable to hold it in anymore, I grabbed my heavy wooden bed frame and flipped it. It slammed into the wall with a crash. Nothing I owned was safe after that. Anything I had that could break, I smashed against the wall. Anything that could tear, I tore apart. The place was a mess with torn paper and shattered glass when I ran out of stuff. That was when I looked across the room and marched towards Titus's side. It was at that moment that the door unlocked and Titus stepped in. He scanned the room in shock. Seeing how out of control I was, he rushed to me. Unsure what he would do, I reacted. With a flashback to every fight I had been in, I turned my body and caught him in the jaw. He hit the ground with one blow. I froze, catching myself. What had I done? He wasn't moving. "Titus," I said, scrambling to his side, "are you okay?" His body lay lifeless. Had I knocked him out? Had I finally killed someone? Was this the moment I had always been afraid would happen? It had to be. With him still limp, I rushed to my feet, collected my keys, and escaped. I was trying not to run. It would make things too obvious, but I needed to get away. I needed to get to my truck and drive until I couldn't go any further. Maybe I would drive to the lake I ran to as a kid and this time cross it. Maybe I would drive into it and bring my miserable life to an end. I wasn't meant to be here. I wasn't meant to be alive. And the only question now was if I would have the courage to put an end to the mistake my mother had made so long ago.